Grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with you this morning as we gather together on this day, this last Sunday in the Christian year, to worship and praise the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Just want to share a couple of announcements with you. I know you all already smell the vittles being prepared downstairs immediately after worship this morning. We will have our annual Thanksgiving dinner, and all are welcome to come down and share with us in that Thanksgiving meal. So that will be immediately after worship this morning. Also, just want to alert everyone that we are seeking volunteers to share their Advent memories. Advent, of course, the first Sunday in Advent will be next Sunday, so it is fast upon us, and we are seeking volunteers to give 3 to 5 minute reflections on during Sunday morning about what Advent means to them. So if you the Lord places it upon your heart to do that, you can see Elder Ken McEwen, or you can see myself, and we will get you squared away for that. We'll be celebrating the Sacrament of Holy Communion on Sunday, November the 30th, instead of the first Sunday in December. We'll be doing that so it will not conflict with our annual meeting, which will be held on December the 7th, which is the first Sunday in December. So that will be, we'll be celebrating communion on November the 30th. And again, to remind everyone that the annual meeting is December 7th, please make sure that you be here so that you can participate in for that annual meeting. And it will be immediately after worship service on December the 7th. There are other things, of course, going on here at Olney Presbyterian Church. Please take the time to read your bulletin and to go to our webpage so that you can stay abreast of all that is taking place here at Olney Presbyterian Church.
Good morning again. Our first reading this morning comes from the book of Luke, chapter 23, verses 23 through 25. But they were urgent, demanding with loud cries that he should be crucified, and their voices prevailed. So Pilate gave sentence that their demand should be granted. He released the man who had been thrown into prison for insurrection and murder, whom they had asked for. But Jesus he delivered up to their will. Our second reading comes from the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verses 11 through 20. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father, who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of saints in light. He has delivered us from the dominion of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For in him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you, God. Friends, this Sunday, as we've stated earlier, is Christ the King Sunday. It's the Sunday that we are called to lift up the reign and supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ. And nothing does that better than the little hymn we just read from the Apostle Paul to the church at Colossae. It's a hymn of thanksgiving, celebrating the majesty and sovereignty of Christ, not just over our own individual lives, but over the whole world. Several weeks ago, there was a protest here in the United States. It was called a No Kings protest, and many people across the country felt compelled to declare that we have no kings. But whether the world realizes it or not, or accepts it or not, we do have a king, and it is the Lord Jesus Christ himself. He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And Christ the King Sunday is what this Sunday is about. It's what it acknowledges, that Jesus Christ is Lord of lords and King of kings. This is, of course, the last Sunday of the Christian year. It comes right before Advent. But I think that this Sunday is one of the most important Sundays in the Christian year. And indeed, this year marks the 100th anniversary of Christ the King Sunday. It was introduced in 1925 by Pope Pius XI, who was concerned over the rising tide of authoritarianism and fascism emerging in places like Germany and Italy at the time. And so he introduced Christ the King Sunday to remind Christians that our primary allegiance is not to nation or not to a political ruler or leader, but our primary allegiance is to the Lord Jesus Christ. I wish I could say that it did some good, but you know the history as well as I do. But that's why we are here this morning on this Christ the King Sunday. We are here to proclaim Christ as the supreme ruler and leader of the whole world. Jesus is indeed Lord of lords and King of kings. That's what the Apostle Paul wants us to understand this morning. And indeed, Paul, as you heard, says some very powerful things about Jesus. He says, for instance, that Jesus is the image of the invisible God. When I was a young soldier stationed in Germany, the person who was most in the image of God for me was the commanding general. He was a 3-star general down the office, and when he barked commands, people scrambled to make sure what he said was carried out. And for me, that's what God must be like, someone who had a big office down the hall and barked commands and people came to attention and listened and carried out his commands. For some people, the image of God may be their favorite movie star, or it may be the CEO of a powerful corporation, or a person who's extremely wealthy, can do whatever they want, or the leader of a nation with all the pomp and ceremony that goes with that. But Paul says here that if you want to know what God looks like, if you want to know what God is like, he doesn't look like a powerful military leader. He doesn't look like a powerful political leader or a powerful business leader. But if you want to know what God looks like, then look at Jesus. Look at the way Jesus lived his life. Look at the kind of things that Jesus did. Look at the people that Jesus associated with. Look at Jesus because he is the image of the invisible God. Jesus himself says in John's gospel, if you have seen me, you have seen the Father. Of course, to say that Jesus is in the image of God is not just to make a statement about his divinity, but it's also a statement about his humanity. You'll remember that was the original vocation of all of us human beings. We human beings were creatures made in the image of God. We were created to look like God. We were created to bear God's image in the world. We decided to look like something else. We put something else at the center of our lives, and so we stopped looking like God and started looking like the things that we put at the center of our lives to worship. One of the things that concerns me more and more is that the image that we Christians are projecting out into the world doesn't look anything like God. It doesn't look anything like Christ. It looks more and more like something else. It looks more and more like cruelty, more and more like hatred, more and more like contempt. But Paul tells us this morning that if you have seen Jesus, you have seen the Father, because Jesus is the image of the invisible God. Paul says something else too. Of course, he says that Jesus is at the center of everything. He is the one who holds all things together. Have you ever seen people want to be at the center of everything? They want to be a part of everything. But Paul says that Jesus is actually the center of everything. Whenever I read this from Colossians, I always think of that well-known poem by William Butler Yeats called The Second Coming. In the poem, he says, "The falcon cannot hear the falconer. Things fall apart. The center cannot hold. Mere anarchy is loosed upon the world. Everywhere innocence is drowned. The best lack all conviction, while the worst are full of passionate intensity. Surely the second coming is at hand." I don't know if the second coming is at hand, but we have all experienced the sense of things falling apart, the sense of things coming unglued, maybe things falling apart in our personal lives, maybe in our larger collective lives together. The fact is that whenever we put something other than the Lord Jesus Christ at the center of our lives, the world that we have built around those things are bound to fall apart sooner or later. Whatever it is, whatever we put at the center of our lives, it may be money, it may be race, it may be nation, it might even be religion. I was reading earlier about a recent trend in Great Britain where a number of young people are returning to church. In many places in Europe, including in Great Britain, many of the churches are virtually empty. But I was reading that many young people are returning to church, are returning to Christianity, and on the surface that sounds like a good thing, and it is a good thing wherever people might be able to hear the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, wherever they might be able to get a vision of the Lord Jesus Christ. But many of them are returning because they feel something of their identity is being threatened because of increased immigration or because of the growth of other religions in their land. And so they're going back to church, not so much to find Christ, but to find something of what they believe to be a lost identity. But we're reminded that it's not the church or Christianity that should be at the center of our lives, but what should be at the center of our lives is the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the one who is at the center of all things. He's the one who is holding all things together. He is the one who is the firstborn of all creation. He is the one who is reconciling all things to himself. He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. But there is a paradox at the center of our faith. And it's important that we understand that paradox, because if we don't, we can end up going in many different paths We can end up going the way of a creeping Christian nationalism where our Christian faith becomes just a means to obtain power so that we can dominate and prevail over others, our enemies. Or we can end up doing what happened in Germany where the Christian faith becomes married to things like race and blood and soil, and when it's all over, all kinds of tragic, horrible things are done. And so the paradox is this, that the Lord's kingship is characterized by the cross. Kingdom and cross go together. The cross is the way to the kingdom, and the kingdom is characterized by the cross. That is, it is characterized by the sacrificial, self-giving love of God. We're reminded that our King is one who faithfully and obediently walked the way of the cross. Our King is the one who willingly gave himself for the sake of others. Our King was one who submitted to being crucified on the cross. Our King was one who was willing to be broken and tortured. Our King is the one who was stripped naked. Our King is the one who had a crown of thorns placed on his head. Our King is the one who traded his crown for a cross. And that's what Jesus' kingship is characterized by. Debbie Thomas, one of my favorite commentators, writes, in light of the fact of the cross, and in light of the fact that Jesus' kingship is defined and characterized by the cross, she says, I can see no path to glory that sidesteps humility. No path that sidesteps surrender and sacrificial love. I see no permission to secure my prosperity at the expense of another's suffering. I see no tolerance for the belief that the holy ends justify debased means. I see no kingdom that favors the contemptuous over the brokenhearted. And I see no church that thrives when it aligns itself with brute force. That's something that I would hope we would remember on this Sunday, on this Christ the King Sunday, that the supremacy of the Lord Jesus Christ, the reign of the Lord Jesus Christ, the rule of the Lord Jesus Christ is characterized by the cross, which means it's characterized by sacrificial self-giving love. It's the sacrificial, self-giving love of Christ that makes him the image of the invisible God. It's the sacrificial, self-giving love of Christ that is at the center of all things. It is the sacrificial, self-giving love of Christ that is reconciling all things to Christ's self. And that's what makes the lordship of Jesus so problematic. Because we're not sure we want that kind of king. You know, the kind of king we would rather have, the kind of leader we would rather have, the kind of authority we would rather have. We would rather choose an insurrectionist than choose the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, because we're not quite sure of the way of sacrificial, self-giving love. But that's who Jesus is this morning. That's who Jesus is for all times. He is the Lord and sovereign over the entire world. And the sovereignty is the sovereignty of self-giving love. Paul reminds us that our response to who Jesus is and what God has done through the Lord Jesus Christ is one of thanksgiving. We are called to give thanks, not just one day out of the year, but our whole lives are to be songs of thanksgiving. We are called to give thanks for what God has done through the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul says in this passage that he has transferred us from the kingdom of darkness and hatred and exclusion and transferred us to the kingdom of his Son, the kingdom of light and love and grace and mercy. And that's what this Sunday is all about, too. It's about us giving thanks and expressing our gratitude for the stunning good news that no matter what we might see in the world, no matter what voices might speak the loudest, that you and I know who the real leader of the world is. We know the one who is truly in the image of God. We know the one who truly holds the world together and is reconciling this whole world to himself. And it's none other than our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And it's his way of self-giving love that we bend the knee to in thanks this morning. Grace be to God. Let us pray. Gracious God, you remind us of your great love for the world, and you have given us your Son to rule over our hearts and indeed to rule over the world. We often believe that what that means is that you have called us to rule over others, that you have called us to dominate over others. You have called us to win political battles and social battles, but what you have called us to do in truth is to love each other just as you have loved us and just as our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ has loved us. We ask that you help us to follow the one who you have crowned Lord and King over all. Help us to give our devotion and allegiance to Jesus and to his way. And we ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.